On this episode of Life Below Zero, the path to survival is filled with danger.
There's one right there.
The Hailstones embark on a treacherous journey.
Miles and ice and tundra.
Andy and Kate are trapped by the frozen Yukon.
The ice broke off. It's just not safe right now.
And a mountain of snow threatens to bury Sue.
That thing can cave any minute.
I just woke up and I heard wolves howling off in the distance. I'm gonna go outside and see what's going on.
I'm not hunting for a particular animal most of the time when I go out. All I do is take advantage of opportunities that come up.
There's a wolf, at least one wolf, not very far from here at all right now. If I howl and there are wolves around, they'll howl back to me. I just heard the wolf howl just a couple hundred yards away. I've got a trail that goes up that direction. He might be walking on my trail.
I feel a kinship with the wolves. The wolves are out here hunting to get food. I'm out here hunting to get food. And the wolves are living a pretty basic existence. I'm living a pretty basic existence, so I do feel close to them. We're not really friends, we're not buddies, but we're not enemies either. 7 years ago, I come across this track of a caribou that had been wounded, one wolf chasing it. So immediately I take off following this caribou and this wolf up the mountain. We head in a direction where he's headed right towards some cliffs. And the tracks go right over the top of the cliff. The caribou got chased right off of this cliff down into this deep ravine. Then I get down into that ravine. I find the caribou. I start butchering the caribou. Decided to make a backpack out of its rib cage. And I was stuffing the legs in there and the head. As much as I could fit of everything went inside the rib cage. And lugging it down out of that ravine, it was all brush and deep snow. But I had that meat, and that was really something. That was one of the most memorable days of my life, I would say.
There's something. This is a moose track. A moose crossed this trail very recently. So the wolves also can be after the moose. They hunt moose and caribou.
They're all excited about my trail here. Running up and down my trail. Turned around right here, stopped. It didn't keep going.
This moose chose to follow my trail because it was easier walking. Something urinated over there, and there's some scat in the snow I'm gonna take a peek at. This is where a moose was bedded down. It was laying right here. That's moose scat. In the winter, that's what it looks like. This is a wolf track right here.
Look here. That's where the wolves cross the trail right here. Look, they urinated right here in the snow.
You can smell that wolf urine. The wolf just peed there this morning. Look at this.
This wolf is walking right in this moose's tracks.
It's following the moose track.
If you want to test yourself, no matter what your personality, you can certainly find an area of Alaska that will do it. You never know up here from 1 minute to the next what you're gonna do.
Years in the bush have taught Sue Akins to tackle problems head on.
All right, this is my freezer room. This is where I keep all my food. And this is 17, 18 foot of drift in front of it. I have a storm system that's coming in. I've got several low fronts, a few high fronts. It's all coming together, it's colliding, and it's a recipe for disaster. It's supposed to be 70 below tonight in the next few days while this storm comes in. Brings moisture, moisture at those temperatures, the snow, the wind with it. It's gonna crush my building. It's gonna be deeper than my lines. So what I've gotta do is take a little weight off this line so it's not drooping so much. While I have a 17-foot drift and I can reach this, this is normally 22 foot in the air. I've got my entire business, a $20,000 building with $8,000 in supplies. So I've gotta get on my snow removal. As the sun's getting ready to go down, you can feel that temperature change. I'm gonna be working into the night to get this done. I'm just beginning to move that snow. It's not just that big 17-foot mound. I've gotta move the other stuff that's been building up too. I started to make my little flat path out to where I need to dump it. When you're doing snow removal, I can't just go and fling it over my shoulder because in a couple of months, it's gonna melt. It's gotta melt away from the camp, not flood the camp. I have to move it far enough away, that's not my issue. It's not what's out here today that's gonna nail me into Moody, it's what might happen tomorrow. You gotta move as much as you can so you have as much time before you do it again. Every storm that comes through doesn't even have to carry snow with it. Because here there's nothing to stop it. The wind comes barreling through, blows it until it hits the first thing taller than the ground. Paws are getting cold. The temperature's definitely dropping. The sun's down, the moon's out. So I'm gonna be working this through the dark. I gotta protect all of, you know, my little fingers. Warm up.
Opposable thumbs are only good if you have them.
I go by my rule of P's, I call it. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance, the five P's.
Oh my God. A huge piece of ice, like several stadiums, it looked like, that kind of a size, has broken away from the shore where our trail goes right through.
Breaking river ice could destroy Andy and Kate's path to their nearest point of civilization for weeks to come.
Wow, that sucks.
Oh my, we didn't even hear that?
Holy mac.
Oh God, can it get any worse?
This has been an unusual winter. Climate change is really affecting the way we live out here. All the seasons are shifting later, and there's not much we can do about it except for adapt to it and change the timing of the way we do things.
It looks like this whole big piece just went out, fanned out like this, and then jammed up there.
Yeah.
It looks like it's open water up by the island, so all we have is that sloped ice now to get upriver on. I have quite a bit up in Eagle that needs to get freighted down. If I don't get that down, a lot of my springtime projects are not going to be able to happen. And now I've got a major ice flow that has broken off and changed where my trail that I've been using all winter is. I'm going to go get my ice chisel and just go check out this area here to see whether I'm going to be able to get up on that or not. We're just checking out some of these places around here so I know what I'm up against.
I think you're a fool for going out there, really do.
You gotta be pretty vigilant all the time when you're out on this ice. It only takes a split second to make the wrong move or have the wrong thing happen. Things can get ugly really quick. It looks like the only option is to come down here and burn some calories and try and cut a trail out right here, flatten this out a little bit. If it's warm temperatures, it's gonna take a long time for this to freeze up thick enough for me to feel comfortable on it. It would have been a bad thing to be out on that ice when it started moving, because from the looks of it, I would have had open water and no way to get to the shoreline. So my plan right now is to head on back, get a shovel and level out that track so that I don't go into the water on that thin ice. I think I'll be sticking a little closer to the bank from now on.
We have to think ahead. Folks up here for 10,000 years have been planning ahead. They live for the day, but you gotta remember there's gonna be a next year too. This is light winter. This is cold, but we got long days. And this is the time of year when we hunt female caribou. And along with the female caribou, where the caribou are gathered up, there's usually lots of fur. I usually get quite a few wolves, wolverine if I can trap them. Something that we usually don't do is leave our kids behind. But this year we're leaving the kids behind. There's no real particular reason to it. I guess maybe my kids want to do something different for their spring break, but what'll be different for me and the wife is having some time alone to ourselves.
This is pretty much our sleeping stuff, our tent, our food, our cooking stove, and our light, and our change of clothes and socks.
It's a long journey, and there's a lot of things that can happen. We're going across the ocean. There's thousands of dangers.
It's gonna be miles and miles, and we could get lost. But we're always on top of the world, so we know where we're at all the time.
Since we're going so far away, we take along a tent and we make ourselves a base camp. And we work out of a base camp. Make ourselves about a 20-mile loop. Set traps. And hunt the loop.
There it is!
And we have what we call our trail. And we take this trail and this route and we work it for a couple weeks. And we work our traps that have been set in between. And as we go check the traps every day, when we see an animal off to one side or the other, we take off after the animal if we want it.
So that's pretty much our load. Tent, sleeping bag, tent poles, gas.
Looks good to me.
Yep. It's gonna be pretty much a whole day traveling to get down there. It's gonna be miles and miles and ice, rivers, tundra.
Between March and the end of September, we're kind of semi-nomadic. We kind of just live out of the tent. And right now for us, this is where everything starts out. This is the hunting year's beginning. We're just getting kicked in.
There's the good and the bad out here. Being stuck is the bad.
We're well-versed in watching for things to happen, but sometimes things catch up on you. My machine just decided to just sit there, and you don't see it coming. Our best bet with dealing with anything is to
deal with it correctly or suffer the consequence. We're not into suffering.
I'd say we got 1, 2, 3, 4 hours of light. It looked like about 15 more miles to go. We're gonna keep cruising through here and hopefully we don't get stuck in this jumbled up junk. We just keep probing it. We'll go along these edges till we find a clear spot. It'll come. It's out there. At least it's not white out. We're not crashing into the...
People depend on the accumulated knowledge of generations. If I just came out here and tried to learn all this on my own, I never would have survived out here. Here's another track. Right there.
That's a wolf track. This is extremely fresh. These wolves were just here. I haven't seen a single caribou track around here.
Unfortunately, I saw lots of moose sign, but no caribou sign. In the winter, I hunt caribou, but the legal moose season's only in the fall.
I'm gonna walk through the forest to the southeast, breaking a new trail. In that forest, I may encounter small game like grouse, porcupine, ptarmigan, snowshoe hare. So I'm just gonna head through the forest, breaking trail to the southeast for the first time this winter.
Sometimes the snow gets so deep that you literally can't walk. But and I'm building a trail that I can use for the rest of the winter.
You have to be adaptable enough to react to what's working and what's not working. And if you can do that, you can live successfully. If you can't adapt well, you don't do very well out here. If I'm not back by tonight, then it just means that the ice broke off and I'm heading toward the Bering Sea.
All right, see you.
All right, don't be a hero. Yeehaw! Here he goes, guys. He's going on a mission. Keep a watch out.
Then we had a large piece of the river ice go away. It broke off, it pivoted, came down river about a quarter mile and jammed into the bank. So it kind of screwed up where I normally use for a trail to go up to Eagle. I've got some steel up in Eagle I've got to bring down. I've got to haul fuel down here and I've got to get dog food down here. If I miss this opportunity, I'm pretty much screwed for all my springtime projects. A lot of times you wait another year until you can do it again.
To get to town, Andy will have to create a path across the unstable ice.
All I'm trying to do here is create a little bit of a trench. If the sled starts sliding down, it's got something to come up against and stop right here. But I definitely don't want to be falling off down there, so I just create a trench here to go through. And if I can go slow enough, I should be okay here. I've never seen a big piece of ice like this break off like it did this year. I'm kind of nervous about going out there. I mean, I don't think it would let go, but I didn't think this was gonna let go either. So the last thing I wanna do is come down on some ice that's gonna break free and start floating when I got 1,000 pounds of gear behind me. It's kind of like a little luge run right now. So as long as I'm in that, I'm not worried about sliding out and onto that thin ice.
With his bypass complete, Andy sets out for Eagle to collect building supplies needed for his spring projects.
Oh,
Now it's time to get this gear, all these supplies loaded up. Load some fuel, get some propane, load that up. The biggest problem is this metal is really slippery. It's hard to lash it down and keep it from sliding off the sled, so I'm a little concerned about that.
Hopefully that'll keep it from sliding out the back. Got about 800 pounds of steel in the back sled. Probably about 600 pounds of fuel and propane in the front sled. We'll see. Every day's an adventure on the Yukon. I'm going to be hauling back probably about 1,000 pounds of material and fuel, so it's finding a good trail on the way home that's going to be the issue today. You don't have a lot of control over it. It starts slewing back and forth, and it can drag the back of the machine around. Sleds don't like going on side hills. They'll just slide to the bottom, and when they do, whatever's in the load really shifts hard and it wants to slide out. It's time to get rolling again. When the sleds are running sideways after slewing back and forth, if they come up and they hit a chunk of ice, it really slams the sled hard, and that's when stuff breaks. One of the last obstacles is the side hilling right by where the new ice is. If I go off the edge right there, I'm gonna lose 800 pounds right into a deep part of the river. If I drop the sleds over there, there's no getting them out, and I'm gonna have to be really cautious going through that last little part.
We don't wanna miss any shots. We don't wanna miss the caribou. We don't wanna miss any wolves. We don't wanna miss any seals. Don't want to miss anything we see on the way. We're going to a place where we go every year. Actually, out of the Arctic, but it's no warmer because we're not going that far out. We're hoping to get there before the daylight gets down.
As semi-nomadic hunters, Chip and Agnes seek out every opportunity to find meat. Today, they've traveled 85 miles across frozen terrain for a chance to provide for their family.
All right.
Like it's gonna get windy later, huh?
Yeah, it's supposed to go to 45. 45-mile-an-hour winds are not fun to play out in. I'm just gonna untie. I'm gonna get this set up. Yank out some coffee when you get a chance.
It takes about 10 minutes to set up our camp. We just have to unhitch the sled, untie the poles. We take the tent, we slip it over top of the poles.
And come over here.
We spread the poles.
Which one?
Keep stretching them out. Okay, now try to grab one and run with it underneath it. Oh, wait, I need that pole so I can push it up.
I'm under here. Don't let go, Chip.
Something I picked up from people whose ancestors lived out here for thousands of years is not to worry too much about the future.
You never know what the future's gonna bring, so why the hell spend so much time planning for it?
I'm not looking for a particular animal most of the time. I'm just looking for food. Wolves led me up to the ridge.
There's no sign of caribou, so what I'm hoping is that I might get some small game.
First time through on snowshoes is always a lot of work. Once I get a trail, it's no problem traveling it, but the first time through, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of patience hunting up here in the Arctic. It's hungry country. I just walk through the forest slowly usually when I'm looking for small game. If you're a spruce grouse, you fly around, you land in spruce trees, and you eat spruce needles, and it's sprucey. I like to know what all this stuff tastes like. The willows, the aspens, the spruce, they all have different flavors.
Life has meaning out here because everything I do every day is somehow connected to my survival. That's why I don't believe in vacations. Like, I don't need it because it's so enjoyable, just the actual work. I don't differentiate between recreation and survival, actually. It's all the same thing.
There's a spruce grouse right in that tree feeding on the needles. Where there's one spruce grouse, there are often others. Before I start shooting, I gotta look around. If there are more, I don't want to scare them away. There's one right there. There's another one on that branch, just frozen. I'll try and get all three of those. Spruce grouse right in that tree feeding on the needles. Where there's one spruce grouse, there are often others. There's one right there. There's another one. I'll try and get all three of those. Nice. That's that male that was feeding on the spruce needles. The other one was right over this way. Sometimes finding them is the hardest part. Yeah. There it is. I definitely hit all three of them. Oh, there she is over there. There, got all three of them. That'll make a nice meal. Maybe even two. I got three spruce grouse, and I'm headed home to cook them. Yeah, a lot of times, you don't get all of them there together. Or when you shoot the first time, a couple others will fly away. But today, I got all three that were here. Birds are singing, squirrels are barking. It's just like paradise out here today.
Wolves led me up to the ridge, looked around. I could see the moose tracks that the wolves were following. One thing turned into the next. I come home with three grouse.
I mean, I feel like I'm just another hunter like the wolves. It's just a very basic, primal way of getting food that feels good.
I mean, I feel lucky just being able to go out there and walk around the woods all day to get my food rather than sitting in an office or doing something that I wouldn't enjoy as much.
I'm just a fat chick trying to make a business on the tundra. I started attacking my snow because my meat shed, where I store all of my food and my frozen meat, that's already under a 17-foot drift. So if that storm comes in pummeling me, it's gonna crush my building. I warmed up my pinkies. I put on some serious warmer gear. I got a long ways to go. And now I gotta hit it again. There's nothing that quite prepares you for spending a couple of weeks alone in Kavik in the winter. You know, any number of things can happen. There's always something else I can learn. There's always something else I can do. There's always room for improvement in any lifestyle. Mine happens to be such that I must rely on myself in the end. When I'm the only one that I count on in the winter to get my chores done, you know, the only ass that gets kicked for not completing the job is my own. They're saying 50 to 70 below for tonight. I definitely believe it. I'm not sure where I'm sitting right now. I really don't care. All I know is it's cold and getting colder, so I gotta get my job done. Making some headway. I'm keeping this kind of clear to move it way away from camp so it drains away from camp when it melts. I don't know exactly when it's gonna hit. I just know it's all coming together for the perfect storm. And I gotta be ready. If not, I've lost my food. I've lost my ability to get to the food. I've lost the building. I can't absorb a $40,000, $50,000 hit. When you're driving that Bobcat, you're being jammed and slammed. There's no suspension in it. I gotta be careful with the Bobcat. Getting too close to it now, I mean, that thing can cave any minute. I gotta use a gentle touch. This is the part where I've gotta pay attention. I've gotta get the weight off without pushing on that building anymore. Put the bucket down, and you gotta scrape. You know, that piece of machinery, if I tell it to come down, it's gonna come down. If I'm too close, I'm gonna be the problem. God damn it. Ah! God damn it. Ah! You have got to be kidding me. Well, I got the snow away from the building, but I can see just the snow from that one storm, heavy enough, dense enough, it bent my building. And you can see how it's bowed. I'll take a look at it from the inside, but that's gonna be a son of a bitch. What I got going on here, you can see right here, man, it is bowed out. I mean, it's this whole building is built to shift when the wind hits, shift, you know, so if I put a 2x4 down and brace it, all that's gonna happen is this thing's gonna rock and roll in the next big windstorm and I'm gonna puncture this. So that's not an option. But, you know, in here I got food for Kavik, the business, as well as myself, my game meat. I've got caribou meat, you know, there. And this building does come down. I mean, this is my meat. These are all freezers. You got 10, 20 grand wrapped up in the building, probably 5 to 8 grand in food. So toss another few grand on the freezers to replace and I don't know, $5,000 a round trip for every 2,000 pounds I fly in. I mean, this will rack up quick. So this little building, if it makes it through this winter, I'll tear it apart. Then that's the time in the summer. I'll kick on the heat on it, rebend those pipes till they're the right shape.
get it all put back together, probably spot weld it a little bit, but get it into a home where it doesn't have to worry about the drifting so much. I've done damn near all I can do with the bucket. I got a hell of a lot done. I feel real good. I truly believe if I hadn't gotten to it tonight, I would not have it. One more inch of snow with a little bit of wind, and I would have lost that building.
We're opportunists. Hunting comes with opportunity. When these things present themselves, we have a tendency of breaking off from one idea or plan and basically making a whole new one. If your eyes are wide open and something comes out in front of you, you go after it.
We're pretty much setting up a home away from home. We're gonna be staying in this tent of ours for the next couple few weeks.
Ow! Watch out, there's another one gonna come down on me. I'm gonna have a broken lip.
Oh, just knock it off.
How could I? It just hit my lip. Full force. See, that one
I
just
understand,
missed
but
you.
That doesn't mean a second one's gonna get you right now.
Oh, it just missed you.
I know, I'm sitting here holding this stuff back.
I don't care
you're
what
safe.
You say.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're safe. Just relax.
I know I'm safe. It just hurts.
Oh, I bet it does. But just, there's not going to be another one coming down.
Can't smile pretty no more.
Sure you can. You're always pretty.
That hurt.
Oh, I bet it did. Just wanted you to know you're safe where you stood. But...
I know I'm safe. I just had to tell you it hurt.
Yes, I heard you.
You mean...
Does that look about right to you?
Yep, it does. I should actually put some snow on that.
Yeah, that would help.
We'll go get some willows to lay down on the ground before we put our stuff inside so that all our stuff won't get wet from the snow and the ground, so.
Putting these down to make a bed. I need a mattress.
Ah, that's one resilient little bush. You got it, and I'll grab it.
Making a way to keep our mattress perfectly off the ground without being lumpy. Important is that we don't get wet from the snow below. I don't think we'll roll off this one. I was trying to smash it down. Make sure I don't have any hard spots or places to roll off of. Don't want my feet higher than my head. We got a lot of work to do ahead of us, and this is just getting it started up.
You know, the only way you live subsistence is working off of renewable resources. So far, I haven't figured out how to get gasoline and oil and all these other things as renewable resources. You gotta make cash to make it happen. Things have been going, for the most part, pretty good. The sleds were slowing around a lot, but I haven't lost anything yet, thank God.
Now this don't look very good anymore.
With 800 pounds of supplies in tow, Andy will have to keep careful control of his sled or risk losing everything to the river ice.
I'm just gonna have to go really slow in some of these side hills. Oh, don't you dare go in there. Oh, better not. This could all go to hell really quick.
Get in that trap.
Everybody stay in there. Right. Yeehaw. Oh-ho.
Was a close call. That's a good feeling. It's a load off my mind right now. I just came through that, I call it the luge, the area I shoveled out, and it was pretty dicey. That back sled almost went off two times. I got it into the area I shoveled, but at one point the back end of it was overhanging the ice there, but the ice held, so heart was pounding a little bit, and it was kind of like, I'm this close to home. I don't need this happening now. That would be pretty ugly to go over on. But there's quite another big crack in the ice right back here heading upriver. You know, after seeing this big chunk of ice break off the other day, my eyes are tuned into these cracks in the ice a whole lot more now than they were a week or so ago. I now know what's possible. I never would have thought that a big chunk of ice like that could have come off and did what it had done. Good learning lessons for me. I really picked up a few new clues to look at the ice and decide whether it's safe or not. And every time you go out here, you learn something new, good or bad. That's life on the Yukon, man.
I like the zero temperature. It's a good working temperature, and we can stay outside. 0 degrees isn't too cold, and it's not too hot.
I'm carving snow blocks, the shovel, and I'm making a windbreak. Not only is it a windbreak, it's also some weight on the edge of my tent. It was kind of warm out, and the wind picked up. So I put on my leather and go make sure that my tent isn't going to go anywhere, especially if my wife's here and I'm not. It'd be pretty tough keeping something like that down in the wind, like a big sail. I got just a few more pieces to put here. When I'm done with that, I'm gonna go get some firewood. This is an old broken down storage rack. We used to keep meat and all kinds of stuff here, but we purposely left firewood here just in case we came back and happened to need firewood when we got here. So I'm gonna take these over and whack them up. This is the Arctic, and heat is a big priority. Getting wood is the way we heat. So this is a very constant chore for me. It's just as important of a job as keeping people fed. Tomorrow we'll get more wood and build a big fire.
Man, I tell you what, my top half is tired. My back is tired, my shoulders are tired, my elbows are tired. But that's what coffee's for.
Just getting here was an adventure all on its own, huh? It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I've done this so many times, the adventure part's gone. But you know what it's been replaced by? I'm content. I know where I'm going and I know what I'm doing. And none of this is new. This is all very comforting. New stuff is exciting, but doing the same stuff over is more comforting. And I just feel terribly normal being here.